good singing tonight. Turn to your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're again looking at established curriculum and looking tonight at the creation of Eve and the blessedness of our wives. And so it is a good truth. Here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, if you have your Bible, would you follow along with me as we read? But as in the previous lessons, as we've been going through on Sunday nights, God lovingly declared to Adam the one road that would lead to unity in his life. He warned Adam about being independent of God. You see, God wants us to be dependent upon him. And he would also warn Adam that if you eat of the tree, which is a form of being independent, there will be consequences for that. And so the following truths would help Adam in his decision-making. Number one, as we had discussed, God is absolute owner and the final ruler over every aspect of our lives. We exist for God. God demonstrated his love for Adam in forbidding him from eating one of the trees. And also, God desires to bless us within a relationship with himself for all of eternity. You think about these truths. So would you follow along with me as I read here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 this evening? It says here in Genesis 1, 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so we'll look at those truths this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for the opportunity of the Word of God, which gives us again that, Lord, you provide everything we need for life. The relationships, Lord, you provide the Word of God. And most importantly, Lord, you provide yourself that we can be in fellowship with you. And Lord Jesus, I do love you. And God, I just thank you for your grace. Help us, Lord, as we draw closer to you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. This evening, first of all, as you see up there, you probably can't, I don't know if you can read that or not, it's probably too small, but God is always loving and gracious. I will have, the next slides will be bigger. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, if you have your Bible there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him." Now, why did God create Eve? As we find here, it was a loving gift to Adam as a helpmate to complement and complete Adam. And as he said there, verse 19, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." And then it talks about the names there in verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." And so here is Eve, as God brings Eve to him. Eve was an equal companion in creation, as there was no one else in creation like Eve. And also for, obviously, having children. But why did God talk with, who did God talk to about creating Eve for Adam? No one. He's creator. He said, you know what? Adam needs a helpmate. He needs someone to complement him, so I'm going to make Eve. Adam didn't have a choice in this, but notice that even before Adam realized his need, God had said lovingly and graciously provided for Adam, saying, you need a helpmate. You need that. And you find that there, the help meet, as it says there, a help sufficient, help equal and helpful to Adam. And as you think upon that truth, but isn't God incredible that he sees the needs that we have? God sees our needs even before we know we have a need. And Adam was different than all others in the animal kingdom, as you read here, Genesis chapter 19 and 20. What was Adam's responsibility? Adam was giving names to these animals. But there was no one, as all these animals are given to multiply and to have babies and to continue on the creatures with which they are, you know, that God designated them. But yet there was no one for Adam. And so God said, you know what? I need someone. There's no one suitable to him. As you think about that, God did not create any of the animals in his image, but he did create Adam in his image. You see, no one else could think, could reason, feel, and even make decisions like Adam could. And if you think upon the truths here, God's word, the animals, if we think about this today with respect, I know there's a lot of environmentalism and other things, but oftentimes it seems like society will put animals and humans on equal bearing. They're equal to one another. If an animal dies, a human dies, it's about the same thing. And sometimes you would even see it in prison sentences. It seems like an animal has a stiffer prison sentence than someone that might kill someone else. But as we dig into God's word and look at God's love for us, for Adam and Eve, now, was Adam able to provide for his helpmate? No. He was helplessly and desperately needed by God. He needed God's help. Were there angels to help him? No. Were there angels that gave him Eve? No. God gave him his wife. And what did Adam do to make that made God provide a helpmate for him? Nothing. You see, here's the truth. In our life, God knows who we need. God knows what we need. God is our provider. Our independence from God is a sin against God. You see, God wants us to be dependent. He wants us to need him. And there's times in our lives, there's things we desperately need. And God knows what we need even before we ask it. And God had already planned the creation of Eve, as you think about that. And God's value of all women. I want to look at some of these truths here this evening. And God's value of all women. And I don't, as we go back here to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 31. We did read verse 27 at the beginning. Let's look at verse 31. Notice with me what God finally says at the conclusion of his creation week. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day. And God's value of all women. Did God also want Eve to eat of this tree of life? Absolutely. But did he want her to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No. God desired for Adam to be in a dependent relationship, but he also desired for Eve. And you think about that, God was equally loving and gracious to Adam and to Eve, because man and woman are equal. And you think about the truths, the definition of God's grace, as you think upon these truths, grace is a term that is often used in the Bible. It's important that we understand the term grace. Grace is God's unmerited and boundless favor towards us. Now, it originates solely with God. Grace is a one-way love. God saying to us, if you think about God's grace, God is saying, I love you. I'm going to provide for you what you need. And God saw Adam and said, you know what? Adam needs a human helpmate. Eve was God's gift to Adam. Think about this, ladies. You think God created all of earth. He created everything in earth. Then he created Adam. And then the pinnacle and the final part of his creation was Eve. All right. I don't know how that goes, but a great thing that God created, Adam and Eve. How do we feel when someone gives us a gift? Adam must have felt the honored and loved and respected and appreciated that God would give him a lady to complete him and to finish him off. That sounds bad. Okay, let's rephrase that. To complete his mind, to help them be one. Not to finish him off. That's a different connotation there. But anyways, you understood what I was saying. I did not intend what the connotation was, all right? What do we oftentimes try to do when someone does a nice gift for us? Do we not try to repay them? Do we not try to do something in return? But since God gave Adam Eve as a helpmate, were there strings attached? No, God says, here you go. He did tell him, you know, obviously to cleave unto her. It says, you know, leaving and cleaving and talking about the husband and wife. But God's gift to Adam was by grace alone. It was God saying, I love you, Adam. And I want to provide for you. I want to complete you. How do you think Adam would feel when he saw Eve? Do you not think he'd be overwhelmed and loved and adored and humbled by God's gracious gift? Think about this as we think about life now, that God puts into our life the people that we need. Whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, God puts into our life who we need at the moment we need it. And God, as a gift of Adam, as he sees Eve, you know what? He's not going to use her. He's not going to manipulate her. He won't mistreat her. He won't belittle her. And we think about the relationships that we have with other people today, why God gave the blessing of a woman to Adam. Our relationship with God is based upon him being our final and sole provider, and our dependence and our absolute need is God. Our life comes from God. The relationship between the man and woman is completely different. It is based upon being equals in creation. Man and woman are equal. There is no hierarchy of one being greater or lesser than the other. No, God created them as equal. And you think about here's some possible things today is sometimes even religion would purport or kind of put out there some ideas with respect to women that are contrary to God's original design, God's intent. And sometimes there's contrary beliefs with women that they're of lesser value or lesser understanding than men. That is wicked. There's also that women are just, in some societies, workmates or pleasure mates or playmates or roommates. Women are only valuable if they bear children. Men are only able to befriend women, and God loves just the men, not the ladies. These are all awful, unbiblical opinions and thoughts, right? Sometimes there's demeaning names a person may give to their spouse. The one name that comes up is the old lady. Not the old lady. It's your wife, one you love. Animals are equal to, sometimes, in some societies, they may even put animals and women equal. Women are of lesser value to God, nor can have a deep relationship with God. All of these are contrary to God. If you're a human being, man or woman, you are absolutely equal in God's sight, and God knows who we need. And why is it so wrong? Because as we think about whether the men are lower or women are lower or whatever gender, men or women, and the gender that you describe as being lower or higher than another, what it's saying to God is you're belittling God and you're putting yourself above God, saying, I know better than God. Because God created us to be equal, to have different responsibilities, different thought patterns, different. But you know what? That's a blessing. Difference is a good thing. And we need to take those thoughts that are contrary to God's word and destroy them. You see, God's love gift to Adam was Eve. And God has been loving and gracious to Adam in so many ways. And you think about this, that God's grace to humanity is that God created us in His image. Why? Why did God create us in His image? He wants a personal relationship with you for all of eternity. He also created us in His image with the ability to feel love and to love others. As I discussed last week about the two trees, why did God put the tree of life, and there's many trees that they could eat of, but the only one they couldn't partake of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why would God put something in there that could have a potential for stumbling? You know why? Because it shows the direction of your heart. If I love God, I'm not going to partake of that tree. You think God gave us the ability to love, and love is a choice. You love, you choose to love, or choose not to. And by making all of creation just for us and giving us the ability to appreciate, you know what? As we go out in creation, you go out in the bush or wherever you go, you say, and you, maybe if you look up and you see the northern light, you're like, whoa, this is unbelievable beauty. Humanity was the pinnacle of God's creation. God made everything first. But God had no strings attached. You think about this, that God is so jealous for a relationship with us. How do you prompt God to give all these good gifts to us? We can't. It's absolutely His grace. You know what we ought to be for our response? Thank you. Overwhelmed, amazed, awed at God's goodness. And it should cause us to kneel before God in humility, saying, God, thank you so much. You've been so good. Aren't you thankful for God who knows what we need? The next one that I have there, you can't see that, I apologize, it's too small. God desires to be the sole provider for all we need. How did God create Adam? As we looked here, Genesis chapter 2, 21 and 22, He created her from His rib. He wanted someone that was just like Him, to look like. About her personality, God must have asked, do you think God asked Adam, what's your spouse's personality to be like, or what's she supposed to look like, or what's to be her hobbies, or anything else? Do you think God asked Adam? No. Why would God do that? Why would God not ask Adam? Because God knows what's best for us. No, God knew His creation, what He would need. God alone was Adam's provider. And in our daily lives, do we treat God as though He is our absolute necessity, that He's our provider? Now, how did God desire to bless in His creation to Eve? You think about this, He poured His power, love, and knowledge into her so that she would fit hand in glove with Adam, a perfect match, equal in creation. You know what? God's still doing that today. He brings men and women together into marriages. As both of them are honoring God, God brings them together in marriage, and a beautiful thing. It takes work. I like that little response from that little boy and Adam's response and seeing Eve. Whoa, man! Right? You think about that as he sees this beautiful lady for the very first time. Never seen anyone so beautiful, just like a human. And he's so awed and inspired and just like, whoa, God, you gave her to me? What a gift. What a gift. And you know what, Christian? Over and over and over again, God does the same thing in our lives today. There are things we say, God, I don't know how to go on. And as God did for Adam, now obviously Adam was perfect and had no need of anything, but God gave him Eve. And I like that little boy's expression. I found that quite hilarious. But let's look with me at verse 23 of chapter 2. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Adam had received an incredible gift from God. Now, if you've ever been a first-time parent or you've had children, when you get to hold that child in your arms, or even if you're related and you hold that child in your arms, that young child, there's an awe, there's a fear. It's like, oh. But you see, God, and oftentimes, as I discussed, I believe, last week, a parent, however, as a parent, they come and they prepare their house for that child to live with them. There's a love for that child. And they prepare everything. They get the house clean, and they get the crib or whatever. They get those child, that place needs to be prepared for that child. And God says, I created earth and everything therein. And one more thing, I'm going to put a man in my image there. Oh, I want a relationship with him. I want him to love me. You think about this with Adam and Eve. Adam would be so thankful to God. He would love Eve, look after her, cherish her, listen to her, respect her, and respond to her ideas. And Adam and Eve were one, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. If you think about this, that God gave Adam and Eve so that they might become one flesh. They left all others and devoted to themselves. There was no one else, but yet they were one. They're one in mind, one in thought, one in flesh. Do you think Adam would ever get angry at Eve in the beginning, belittle her, or speak harshly to her? No, it was a perfect relationship. Did Eve ever speak harshly or shame him or disrespect him? No, that relationship was perfect. Speaking of that very truth that we're going to look at here in a few weeks in Sunday school, that idea of love and respect from Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, and wives, honor your husbands. And there's a love and respect there, and we'll look at that here in a few weeks on what God thinks about marriage, but that's just an advertisement for that. Adam and Eve had a perfect provision. And Adam, if God was such a fantastic provider, why didn't he provide clothing for them? And you think about, why did God not provide clothing? They're in a perfect environment. There's no sin, there's no shame, there's no guilt. Everything was exactly as God designed it to be. And you know what, Christian? When we get into the will of God, God begins to allow those things. Now, obviously, we still have sin that creates the trials and the heartache and the turmoil and other such things in our lives. But Adam and Eve, they just trusted God. They just walked with him in dependence upon God. It was a day-to-day, wonderful fellowship. Do you think, as God today, do you think he still desires to be our absolute provider in our lives? With a hearty amen, yes. God knows our needs, and in humility, as I am so thankful for God being my provider, God pours his all into the provisions he gives to us. His love, his power, his knowledge, his grace, his mercy, compassion, and the list goes on. Each of us needs to allow the truth of God's grace that God is our provider. It always has been and always will be. As we look to God as our sole provider, think of God's loving provision from really another angle. There are times when we need help, whether your finances or advice or tutoring or mentoring, or maybe you're just having a hard day saying, God, I don't know what to do. I'm discouraged and depressed, and Lord, I need help. And oftentimes, if you go amongst others, you're kind of a little bit reluctant to go to others because you said, what would they think of me if I asked to say I'm struggling? What would they think of me if they see that I have a weakness? What will their thought be? You want to know something? We don't ever have to worry about that with God. I can go straight to God. I don't need to be sheepish. I don't need to be scared, anxious. What is he going to think about me? He already knows what I think. He sees all of me, and yet he still loves me. And when we need help from God, we go straight to him. Here's the truth. As God created Adam and Eve in that garden, God is for them. They're the pinnacle of his creation. Everything he did was for mankind and God to be in relationship. He ultimately knows what's best for us. Our providers in our lives, sometimes we look to others. It could be family, friends, spouses, workers, anything. And we go to others to provide something for us. It could be emotional, it could be physical, it could be, I don't know, it's something else in your life, but there's something oftentimes we're needing and we go to others to provide for it. And oftentimes, not only would we turn to people, but we sometimes turn to items. It could be money, entertainment, hobbies, alcohol, drugs, immorality, other things, to provide a sense of satisfaction and pleasure. But all of those things that we look for, whether it's a person, whether it's items, tangible, intangible, real, inanimate, all of those will only give us a temporary satisfaction. Our satisfaction comes from God. And also number three here, as we go on here, God alone decided to make mankind in his image for a dependent relationship. God set Adam and Eve as managers over the earth. If you look back at Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, as Adam, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he them, male and female he created them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and he goes on there, I want you to be my manager over the earth. That's pretty amazing. God, who created this earth, has entrusted to you and me to take care of that which he created. You're special. You have a purpose. God commanded them to be fruitful and multiply as well, and God gave them a job. When we don't have a job in our lives, we feel as though we've lost our purpose in life. When you're not working, now sometimes a person might ask my wife, what do you do? What does my wife not do? She works hard. And others work hard. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whether you're in a secular job, you're at home, you're caring for other people, it doesn't matter. If you have a job and you're doing it, you have purpose. And God, did God give Adam and Eve authority over the planets and angels and the weather? No. Take care of the earth. Take care of my animals. God trusted them. Think about that. God trusts us. In verse 28, he allows Adam. As Adam begins to name the animals. And Adam and Eve at that time would have a relationship towards one another, one of blessing and plentiful. They had everything they needed. Hence why they had no clothing. They didn't need clothing because it was an absolutely perfect paradise. Perfect paradise. Joyful, you'd have a desire. They didn't need anything else. And just as you see in that picture, as a loving parents will provide for their children to the best of their ability. God didn't do to the best of his ability. He gave the best. It wasn't the best of his ability. Well, it is the best of his ability because he's the best. There is none other. And God as owner said, Adam and Eve, here's your job. And God does the same thing for us. In Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God is the absolute owner over everything. And do you think God could say, Adam and Eve, you failed, you messed up, I don't want you anymore? And they obviously, as we'll find in chapter 3, they did mess up. But God didn't take that responsibility away. God didn't take that job away. Everything that Adam and Eve did was in the rule of God, and it was all about glorifying God. It wasn't about themselves. And you know what? That is the paradise, because it wasn't about themselves. It's all about God. God was Adam and Eve's source of right and wrong, and every decision they made was based upon what God thinks. Now, God had to trust in his representatives. Now, think about this truth. If I was a respected employer, how would my employers treat my son? you would hope that they would treat him well. They'd respect him. How would my son feel as if I sent him in my place? Would your son not feel, if you're a manager or a CEO or whatever your position is, that's as a leadership type position, would your son not feel like, wow, Dad trusts me to take on his job and to lead in the way that he was? Wow, Dad really trusts me. Don't you think that Adam and Eve may have felt such an overwhelming sense that, wow, God trusts us to take care of the earth that he's created? Angels weren't given this rule. And sometimes we would put the angels, we think, oh, wow, the angels. But no, God gave humanity the rule of this earth, the care of this earth. They have a mind, emotions, and will. Angels weren't created in God's image. They do his bidding. They're his servants, but they don't do what you and I do because we're special, different, lofty, and we are able, as no other part of creation, able to be in a relationship with God. And so the blessing that God wants, a dependent relationship, why is this a blessing? God could think of nothing more positive than to duplicate himself in us for an intimate relationship. God says, I want fellowship. I want to know you. So I'm going to create humanity in my image. And because of the blessings we receive through that intimate relationship with God, we get to see God provide for every part of our needs. There's the physical, like your food and clothes, and you see God provide jobs and provide for your spirit and provide for your soul and provide for your emotions. God is all of that. What steps did God go to ensure the closest possible relationship with us? He created us with the ability to communicate. Communication is where affections or opposite are expressed. Communication. And as we think about this, we have to be humble ourselves and communicate with God. To get the benefit of his love and provision, each of us humble ourselves and come before him and communicate with him. And we do such as we pray and you meditate on God's word, and God alone decided that mankind would be created in his image. Number 4, God is supreme, holy, powerful, and faithful, and thus everything was absolutely perfect. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening, morning were the sixth day. When God reviewed all that he had made, what did he say? It was very good. Why did God say it about 5 times as he goes through the other things as begin the other days of the week? The first 5 days, he said, it's good. He gets to the 6th day and he said, it's very good. Humanity. If we understand how close God wants us to be to him, our very existence, the very breath we breathe, God says, I want to know you. I want to be in communication with you. Adam and Eve had this very good on the 6th day. He said good on the first day, good on the second, third, fourth, fifth. On the 6th day, it's very good. God rested on the 7th day to show he's all done. He's finished. God didn't need to rest, but he did. He says, my work is complete. Everything is perfect. Let's look at me at chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had made. He finished all the work. He stood back to enjoy the beauty. How much of the creation was finished? All of it, right? God didn't leave things unfinished. God didn't leave things open-ended thinking, okay. Obviously there's some, as I have discussed in the past, sometimes, there's this theistic evolution, which is the idea that God created, he started the process, but he didn't finish it. No, God created all of it, and he finished the job. We can see this, and it even says in the scriptures as it's talking about that God is working in you and me and perfecting us, that we would be mature and grow in the Lord, and God would do a great work. When God starts something, he always, always, always finishes it. There's no flaw in the DNA. Everything was perfect. His creation, it was all done. Nothing can hinder God. He is always faithful. As you see that house there, they left it unfinished, and maybe they ran out of money, or sometimes you can think about that. Maybe those of you who have done construction, you've seen some things left unfinished for a lengthy period of time, and there's some problems that happen if you ever try to restart that project. It could be that someone ran out of money, fell sick, lost interest, energy. I know, remember when we had visited a mansion over in New York, the guy was building it for his wife, and she fell sick and passed away and never finished the mansion. It was a beautiful, beautiful place, and it was never fully finished. They ended up redoing it, but there were some real problems at that place because they didn't finish the job. They didn't put the roof on all of it, and there was some significant structural damage that had to be repaired. God's faithfulness flows as he finishes everything out of his unlimited supply. Can anyone or anything ever prevent him from finishing the job he sets out to do. And God wants to finish his work in us. But as a relationship and as we're dependent upon God, we have to be willing to allow God to finish the work. God is never caught by surprise. And look with me at verses 4 and 5 of chapter 2 as we learn more about God. Something else here God reveals about himself. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Before this, he's known as God, creator, infinite, ever existing, eternally existing. But here he says, Lord God. It's not until the creation of man that he reveals himself as Lord God. All capitals, and you find that there in your Bible, all capital, L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah, meaning eternal, ever-present, self-existent, covenant-keeping, God of holiness, love, and grace. God introduces a new name to Adam and Eve. In the beginning, God, you have the first 5 days, but God is I don't mean that sound bad, but he's God. But on the sixth day, he says, I'm Lord God, I'm Jehovah Elohim. And I've gone through that here several months ago. The Jehovah means that God loves mankind. He reveals a further aspect of his name. Every name that we find in the Bible about God is so important to understanding the character of God. There's many different names of God in the Scriptures, and that reveals a new aspect of God's character. People have nicknames. You find there, as I had a coin, that's the state of Maryland's called the Old Line State, the kind of a nickname or a phrase to go with it, and you'd have Friendly Manitoba and others. But God is the same, yes, but the names that we learn from God reveal a different perspective on who God is. And every time we see these names of God, we should take note. Is it God as judge and owner, as you may think of, like Elohim or God? Or is it speaking of Lord Jehovah, the personal self-existent one speaking? What it reveals is God's heart towards us. And God alone is all-powerful and the source and owner of rain. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, we just read, let's read verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. How was everything watered in the beginning? There's a mist. Continual mist. No rain. That'd be kind of nice. Just a continual, when I get an image of a mist, I kind of think of like, you know, when you go to Safeway and they have that little mist that's kind of going over the vegetables. That's my image. I don't know. I'm probably way off on that, but I guess I have to have an imagination somewhere, right? But God had not caused it to rain. It's important that God, as we find it here, God had not caused it to rain. And we'll see that later on in the Scriptures when we get to Jonah. Noah. Noah, you're like, do you know your Bible? Noah and the flood, okay? There wasn't a power that God gave to mankind or angels. No, he is alone, all-powerful, and God says, you know what? I'm not going to cause it to rain. Now, the only exclusion from this is we would find in the book of Job that God allowed Satan to destroy. There was a great wind and it blew down his house and Job's children died and other things happened, but God allowed. Satan has to get permission from God in order for any bad to happen. Whether it's you and me or somewhere else, Satan needs God's permission. And so we see the hand of God here working as he had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Now, God is all-powerful, holy. Just think about some things that bring into our mind today of the perfection with which God worked. I'm going to give you some a little bit of stuff from our body anatomy. There's 30 different ligaments and 50 different muscles work in perfect harmony for us to pick up a spoon. Our hearts pump 6,800 liters of blood and beat 100,000 times each day of our lives. A human body has 60,000 miles of blood vessels and capillaries. Our skin can heal itself and yet can feel an ant crawling on it. We have 24 different kinds of skin on our faces alone. We are kept at a constant 36.7 degrees, whether in the Arctic or the tropics. Our stomachs are the most intricate chemistry lab in the world. God created thousands of colors, textures, tastes, smells, and sounds, and he gave us the ability to appreciate all of them. It is quite amazing how fearfully and wonderfully you and I are made. That God would allow us to enjoy it. And so when we think of the meaning of the Lord for us today, we'll be done here before too long, but God all-powerful means he's strong and powerful, nourishes, supplies, but he satisfies. Adam and Eve were fully satisfied. When you take this truth of the Lord today, he brings of all who he is into relationship with us. Our proper response to God when we begin to think about these beginning truths of God is an awe, but also a choice to say, you know what, I'm going to believe you, God. I don't understand it, but I'm going to believe you. It doesn't make sense, but I'll follow. And the third and most important response that God wants from us is for us to run into his embrace, to run into his arms and say, God, thank you. You see, when Adam and Eve were created, and Eve was created for Adam, it was a gift of God. Our wives, women, are a gift of God. Men are a gift of God. God created this for a harmony, men and women, and a great love for one another. And as you think upon what God knows that we need in our lives, the provision of God in our lives is a great provider. He lays everything out because God wants an intimate relationship with you. You see, that intimate relationship that God wants with us is not coming to church. It's not reading your Bible. It's not praying. No, it's spending time in the Word of God and letting God's Spirit speak to us. It's time praying and saying, Lord, I need help, and his Spirit encouraging us. We are making a full dependence. I can read the Bible and not be dependent upon God. I can pray and not be dependent upon God. Can you help me today? I'm really, whatever. I need help on this test, or I need help here, or here, or here. That doesn't show a dependence. What shows a dependence is, God, I can't, but you can. Would you go before me? God's word is very clear. As I finalize and summarize what we've gone through this evening, God is always loving and gracious. God desires to be the sole provider for all we need. God alone decided mankind in his image for the purpose of a dependent relationship. God is supreme, holy, powerful, and faithful, and thus everything was absolutely perfect. And we finish that up and I say, he's my God. And he's your God if you're a child of God. I know sometimes you think, Pastor, why do you keep going through this? And next week we'll begin to get into the curse. But this is all building, little building blocks, to go back and really reflect on who God is. When we remember who God is, it helps us in our daily lives, our spiritual lives, because so often we get so overwhelmed, we get stressed, we get fatigued, you can fill in the blank. And if I understand that God is my provider, that God knew what Adam needed, I would say, God, I don't know what I need. You do. Would you help me? Unless we give up, God says, I want to help you get up. What a wonderful truth from God's Word this evening as you think upon these truths of Adam and Eve and the creation of Eve and God's perfect provision for Adam. I trust it's been a challenge and encouragement to your heart this evening. We'll have a quiet time with all heads bowed and eyes closed, however the Lord may have spoken to you this evening. The first question is, do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you sure if you die today, you know you're going to heaven? And second of all, if you're a Christian, are you thankful for what God has provided for you? Could be your spouse, it could be children, job, health. Thankful? Do you recognize Him as your provider? However God spoke to you, I trust that you would just spend some time talking with God.